This morning and open up to John chapter number 21. We only have a few more messages in the book of John. The Gospel of John chapter number 21. Last week we left looking at how the difference between what we can do on our own strength and our own power and what Jesus Christ can do and what we can do through us. Last week we talked about how the disciples had gone and fished all night long and how the disciples had gone and turned their back on what Jesus had called them to do, and disciples had gone out fishing by the leadership of Peter, and it says they toiled or they worked all night long and didn't catch a thing. But when Jesus Christ came, told them to cast the net on the other side, and they pulled in a great catch. And we saw that they were dragging the fish out of the water, and John said to Peter, he says, "It is the Lord." And once again, it's this idea. Last week we want that God wants to do a work through us, where no one can say anything, but it had to be the Lord had done it. We heard the missionary's testimony this morning about how what God saved him out of and what God has done in his life. And when you hear a testimony like that, the only thing you can say is it had to be God. It's the Lord that's done it. And that's what God wants in all our lives. God wants to see us become more and more like his Son, so that way they see our good works and they glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Here in chapter 21, we see here the Lord is being patient, is being kind with Peter. He's working with Peter. He's trying to re-enlist him into the ministry here. And we had this question that the Lord asked Peter. He says, "Lovest thou me?" And that's the title of this morning's message, is "Lovest thou me?" And I'd like us to take a look deep down inside and ask ourselves this question. How do we really truly feel about Jesus Christ? And how much do we really truly love him? And here in this story, Jesus asked Peter this question three different times, and what he's trying to do is encourage Peter to step up his love for Jesus Christ and demonstrate the love that he desires to have in our lives. And I'd like us to look here this morning. We're going to read through the passage of Scripture, and then we're going to get into the message. As we go through the passage of Scripture, we're going to show you a couple different things I think you'll find interesting. And then from that, we're going to talk about "Lovest thou me?" Here in John chapter number 21, we're going to begin in verse number 7. It says, Mr. Bruce, some reason it's echoing up a little bit up here, if you don't mind. Thank you. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came into a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish lay thereon, and bread." Now I want you to picture this here. I think the fire of coals is on purpose here, because remember when Peter denied Christ, that we talked about months ago, it was around the fire here, and the Lord's bringing back this remembrance. I'm sure as Peter began to walk and saw Jesus, his mind and his conscience was reminded of the last time that maybe he was around the fire, around with a group of people, and that how he had denied Christ vehemently and cursed Christ even. Verse number 10, "Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." Once again, it's wonderful when you consider what Jesus Christ can do. And once again, they worked all night long. They did nothing. They caught nothing but waste their time. But when they used the Lord's instruction, used the Lord's wisdom, and used the Lord's help, they were able to do great things. And look, even the net wasn't broken. And verse number 12, "Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine." What an offer. He says, look, come and dine. It's the same thing that Jesus offers to each and every one of us, is to come unto him. First, in the relationship of the idea of being saved and asking Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. That's an invitation that's to the whole world. Not even an invitation to the whole world. Jesus has commissioned Christians to go out and tell the world about asking and telling those the need to come unto him. And also, if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, Jesus is calling unto you, asking for you to come and put your faith and trust in him. But also, Christian, it's an invitation of coming and dining amongst him and with him. Once again, these are disciples. These are followers of Jesus Christ. He still wants them to come, and he wants us to enter into even a greater fellowship and a closer relationship with him. And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and give them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. I don't want you to be confused. The Bible did not make a mistake there. This is the third time he showed himself to a group of his disciples. Yes, he appeared before Mary Magdalene that we saw. He went to Peter, as we saw. He had visit with the disciples in the upper room a few different times. And we saw the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So this is the time when there's a group of disciples that were there together. Verse number 14. It says, "Now this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead." Verse number 15, he takes and points his attention to Simon Peter. He says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas." And I'm not going to develop this too much, but I want you to see something and notice it here. Earlier when Peter had been called, Jesus had did what? He gave him another name. He said to him that you have another name. He talked about how he'd given the name Peter that was there. But Jesus resorts back to calling Peter by his old name. You look at different parts in the Bible. Once Jesus had said that, Jesus did not call him by his old name. But here he resorts back to because Peter had resorted back to his old life and resorted back to the things that he was used to and common to. Jesus here calls him the son of Jonas here. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now here's the thought. Peter here is there, Jesus is there talking, and he says to him, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said, what does that phrase, "more than these," mean? There's two schools of thought, so we're going to bring this out a little bit later on in the message, but who were there? There was the other six disciples that were there that were convinced by Peter to go back, going back to fishing, but there was also a bunch of fish that were there. There was 153 fish laying there. Jesus could have been saying to him, he says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Talking about the fish, talking about his old life, talking about the things he used to do. Or he could have been saying, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Referring to the six disciples. Because remember, when Jesus had told him about that he was going to be crucified, Peter says, "I'll never deny you." Jesus even says, "Yes, you will even deny me three times." He says, "I would die or I would go to jail before I would ever deny you." He says, all others may deny you, but I will never deny you. So he could have been talking about the fish. He could have been talking about the men here. And we'll catch up with that in just a few minutes. And we see here that Peter, Jesus, when he says, "Lovest thou me," he uses this word of agape. Now this agape word means it's the greatest love that you can have. It's a spiritual love. It's a high love. It's a love that is pure. It's the type of love that God has for us. So he's looking to Peter and he says, "Do you love me this way?" And you see what Peter's response was here in verse number 15. He says, he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Now, when Peter responds, he doesn't respond with the same word. Instead, he responds with a word that's like phileo. And that's this word phileo means in the Greek, he says, "I have a brotherly love for you. I have a high affection of you," but not the agape love, the way that God loves us. And what Jesus is doing here, he's trying to bring him up to that higher love. His desire is that what they were taught back in Deuteronomy. And what did they learn in Deuteronomy? How are we supposed to love the Lord God? With all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our body, all those things. That's the type of love he's looking for. And that's what he's trying to teach to Peter here. He says, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I have a high affection for you. Yes, Lord, I love you like a brother." And continue on the passage here. He says, he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." And once again, here he is giving him a direction of what he needs to be doing. In verse number 16, he saith to him again, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Once again, he uses the word agape. He says, "Do you have this great love for me? The love that I have for you." He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Once again, he uses this word that is a phileo love. It's talking about a brotherly love, talking about one that has a deep affection of him. He says, he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." So we see here that he goes from "feed my lambs" to "feed my sheep." And we'll get to that in a few minutes about the service there. Verse number 17, he saith unto him the third time. He says, "Simon, son of Jonas." Once again, he's using his old name. He says, "Lovest thou me?" But he changes the word this time. He goes away from using the agape love word, and he starts using this word, the phileo love, and he says, "Do you have a brotherly love to me?" And here you see that this breaks Peter. Once again, he asks this question three times. Remember how many times Peter denied him? He denied him three times. Peter's heart is broken that the Lord had asked him this three times, reminding him of his sin, also reminding of him that he did not have the great love that Jesus Christ wants him to have, but instead he says that he uses this word brotherly love. He says, And Peter was grieved. In verse number 17 it says, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, once again, in this story here, Jesus is trying to work with Peter. He's trying to bring him back into a fellowship, into a relationship, into a love that will go and do whatever that God has called him to do. And here, he gives him a commission. He says, feed my lambs. He says, feed my sheep. And he says, feed my sheep. He's giving him a job to do in front of these other disciples. I believe at least a portion of this is in front of the other disciples. He's saying, you've got a job to do. I want you to take care of the flock of God. We know in the Bible that the pastor is many times called the under-shepherd and refers to the flock and how he leads the flock. And he's saying, look, not only do I want you to feed them, and the second time when he says feed my lambs is a different word in the idea of feed. It means to tend them, to take care of them, to oversee them. And then he does it again the third time. He goes back to that original word of feeding and talks about how we are supposed to, he's supposed to take care of his sheep. You say, why is that important? Well, Peter needed this. Peter was away from God. He had denied Christ. He didn't think he was worthy to be used anymore. And what Jesus Christ was doing, he was drawing out his love. He was teaching him. He was showing him, look, this is the way you need to love me. And when you love me like this, this is the performance. This is the job I want you to do. Now, these other disciples, he's going to face tough times ahead. Peter, getting ready to be one of the pastors of the first church, he's going to face a lot of hard decisions ahead. And he's going to probably, Satan's going to come. You know what Satan's going to try to convince him? Look, you denied Christ by that fire. You don't deserve to be the pastor. You deny Christ. You've cursed Christ's name. You said you never even knew him. You don't deserve to be there. But what Jesus Christ is doing, he is calling him into the ministry. You see the patience and kindness. He says, well, it sounds like Jesus is giving him a hard time. Jesus is not trying to give him a hard time. Jesus is trying to bring him into a right relationship. If you see here in verse number 17, it says unto him, verse number 18, excuse me, verily, verily, once again, this is special significance. Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, now this word is referring to younger. It says, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. What he's saying there to him, he says, look, Peter, this is what you're going to face. Someday, they're going to gird you. And because you're old, you can't gird yourself anymore. They're going to lead you to a place where you did not want to go. Jesus was telling him that he was going to be put to death for his faith. And here in this story, it's an amazing thought, an amazing comparison to us in our lives. Now, I know that we use some of the Greek words there to try to explain it. We're going to try to bring this all together. But here's the question. The main thing you need to think about today is, do you love Jesus Christ? And if you do love Jesus Christ, what type of love do you have for him? There's three different things I want you to focus on today. First thing I want you to see is that to love Jesus Christ, that love should be supreme. Secondly, to love Jesus Christ, there's going to be service involved. And thirdly, to love Jesus Christ, there's going to be a sacrifice that needs to be made. This morning, as we look at this and consider this, how much do you love Jesus Christ? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. Lord, I don't want to be confusing to anyone. I don't want them to miss the point of what you've laid upon my heart. Lord, help us to have that great love for you. Help us to have that love, Lord, that truly reflects what you desire from us with these commandments that you've given us. Lord, help us understand that you need to reign supreme in our lives and that you need to be the what we love the most. But Lord, also help us understand this love is going to cause us to want to serve you and to accomplish what you've called us to do. But also, Lord, this love also is going to many times require sacrifice. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Lord, work in someone's life. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, not only, Lord, that those that are unsaved to get right with you, but Lord, are also for us believers, that we have that love that you desire from us. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see is loving Jesus should be supreme in your life. Loving Jesus should be supreme in your life. You notice here, it's kind of interesting. Some of us, the first thing we would do, we would turn around, we're going to talk to somebody about their work for the Lord. We're going to talk about their relationship for God. You're going to go up to somebody, you're going to talk to them. You know, what we usually would say, hey, what have you done for God lately? What is it that you've been doing? What type of service have you done? And you would want to hear about all the things that Jesus doesn't go to Peter and say, hey, Peter, what you been doing for me? Jesus already knows that Peter has gone back to the old business, going back to the fishing. He goes right to the heart of the matter and he says, lovest thou me? You know, this is the question we need to ask. It's not about the service we do. It's not about the work that we do. It's about how much we love Christ. It's where our heart is at. And the question is today, how much do you love Jesus Christ? Because if you love him and if he's supreme in your heart and supreme in your life, the work will take care of itself. What you've been doing will take care of itself. I know we talk a little bit about standards and we preach about living a holy life. But you know what? If you're right with God and your heart's in the right space and you have the love for God that God requests of us, you know what? All that's going to take care of itself. You say, Pastor, what do you mean that love that God requests of us? It seemed like Jesus was giving Peter a hard time. No, Jesus is saying to him, do you love me the way you should? Jesus is calling this man into the ministry. Jesus loves Peter more than anyone else, more than his mom, more than his dad, more than these other disciples, more than his wife. Jesus has a great love for Peter. And he wants to draw him into a right relationship. He wants to use Peter. He wants to see Peter used for the glory of God. And that's why he comes to him and says, hey, how much do you love me? And Christian, this is what God wants for you in your life. He wants to use you. He wants to be able to show his love and demonstrate his power through your life. He wants to use you to bring glory into his Father. And what he's saying is, how much do you love him? Here, Peter is asked this question. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? It's clearly written. It says in Matthew 22:37, and it says it more than once in the Bible. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Other places in the passage in the Bible, it talks about with all thy strength. You go all the way back to Deuteronomy, and you see that that was a prayer that they would say. This was a desire. This is the nation that God had called out of Egypt to make and prepare to be a testimony to all other Gentile nations, to show them that if you live for God, God would be able to bless you. This is what the desire he had. He said, I want you to love me. Not only do I want to, I don't want this halfway love, this half-hearted love. He says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He wants to have first place in our hearts and lives. Peter was saying, I got a deep affection for you. Lord, I love you a whole big bunch, but you're not supreme. And that's when Jesus wants to lift him up to higher ground. That's why he continued to ask these questions. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And here's the thing is, he asked that first question. He was comparative. He said what? Lovest thou me more than these? I'd like to think about that for a second. More than what? We're going to use the two comparisons. I think he was talking about the disciples, but I think the fish comparison also brings out some interesting points. He says, lovest thou me more than these? And he could be talking about the fish that were laying there, the fish that Jesus helped bring in. He says, look, do you love me more than you love your old life? Because Peter was the one that had been called by Jesus. He says, henceforth, you should no more fish. He said that you should no more fish for fish. Instead, you should fish for men. He said, no longer. You need to turn and do something different with your life. And what Jesus is asking, he says, do you love me more than this? This was your old life. This was the world over here. This is what you left. This is what I called you from. Do you love me more than that? And here's the question is, Christian, do you love him more than that? Do you love him more than the world? Do you love him more than the life that you were called from? Because when Jesus Christ saved your soul, he set you apart. You became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And what he wants us to do is leave the old things behind. Stop having the affection and love that we used to have for the world and turn from that and turn to him and love him the way that we used to love those things that meant so much to us. Remember, Peter was the one who took the initiative to go back fishing and the other ones followed along. You need to be careful who you spend time with. You need to be careful who you're around. Be careful that they don't influence you the wrong way. Instead, you use this idea of being influenced in the right way. Now, Christians, do you love him more than the things of this world? It's a simple question, but it's a hard one to answer, isn't it? Now, put some things to the test here. You know, what do you spend your most time doing? And you say, Pastor, I work 40 hours a week. I know some of you probably don't even think I work 40 hours a week. I work a lot more than 40 hours. But yeah, I work 40 hours a week. I don't get to, you know, I understand that. Let's even clear that off. What do you do the most with your free time? Yes. Your time when you're not working. Because when you're at work, you can be a witness. When you're at work, you can be thinking on Christ and thinking of things of God. But we'll even take that. What do you do the most with your free times? What do you love the most? You know, is it sports? Is it hobbies? Is it fishing? Is it hunting? Ladies, is it shopping? And what is it that you love the most? Is it your family? And all those different things. Those things, not that there's anything wrong with them, but the Lord says he wants you to love you with all your heart and with all your soul. And if we take this test, how do we compare this test? How do we compare our love with the things that takes us away from God sometimes? Say, Pastor, it seems like you're making too big a deal out of this. No, the things of this world will attract us and take us away from our love of God. You think about family. He says, Pastor, I don't like it when you preach about that, about, you know, not loving your family. I said, I never said that. I think you should love your family. I think they should have a high priority in your life. But Jesus Christ himself said, listen to what it says here. He says, if any man come to me and hate not my his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? It means that comparatively, our love for Jesus Christ should surpass any relationship we have. It should surpass anything that we have or anything that we call that we would be affectionate towards. Our life and our love for Jesus Christ should shine above everything else to where everyone else in the world knows, whether it be my mom, my dad, my wife, my brother, my sister, my children, know that my love for Christ is first and foremost and supreme in our lives. And this is the same type of thing. He says, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What is first place in your life? And there's that verse in there. The Bible says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, some people have two different thoughts there. Some people think it's the love of Christ itself, Christ's love for us. But I think it also refers to the love that we have for Christ. It constrains us. It doesn't, in the fact that it holds us back, instead it gives us liberty to live for him. The love I have for Jesus Christ causes me to want to go out and do things for him. It stops me from doing certain things, but it encourages me to do other things. Let's bring this into a relationship that most of us would understand, a husband and wife, or a boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, the love of my love for my wife, the love I have for my wife, constrains me not to have different relationships with other women. It's because I love her. I'm not gonna get involved with other women. I'm not gonna let someone else have a better relationship with me than my wife does with me. She is my wife. I love her, and because I love her, that constrains me from not doing certain things and not developing relationships with women. You say, Pastor, that's silly, that's goofy, that's a ridiculous comparison. No, it's because I love her is the reason why I don't want to hurt her. It's because I love her is the reason why I want to take care of her. It's because I love her that I want to treat her right. It's because I love her. It's because of the fact that I do all these things for her. It's not for any other reason. It's because I love her. Am I supposed to? Yes, that's great. But it's because of my love for her. Now, let's go back to this comparison here. It's because I love God, I'm willing to do this, this, and this for him. Because I love God, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to fail him. And men, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible says, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. So let's go back to this comparison here. I love my wife. Because I love my wife, there's certain things I would not do because they will hurt her. And there's certain things I do because of the fact that there are things that show that she's a blessing to me. Husbands, how much do you love your wives? Husbands, how much do you really... The Bible says here that we're supposed to love our wives as our own bodies. And we don't usually have a problem with taking care of ourselves. Most men or most women don't usually have a problem or issue with taking care of themselves and doing things that make themselves happy. But that's what the comparison is. You need to treat your wife that way. The way that you want to be treated, the way you treat yourself, is the way you should treat your wife also. And here it says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it. That's the relationship you should have with your wife. It's one of love, one of compassion, one of... Now, the Bible's saying here, take it a step higher when you come to God. He should reign supreme. He should be... And so when Jesus says, lovest thou me more than these, he says, this was your old life, these were the things of the world, do you love me more than them? And Christians, do you love God more than the things of this world? I mean, once again, when you have relationship, there's always rules. You're not going to break those rules because of the love you have for those people, but how much love do you have for Jesus Christ? Are you really, truly showing your love by the way you're demonstrating yourself and the way you carry yourself? Is there anything that you would not do for Christ? That's a good place to start. The litmus test is here. What is it that Jesus Christ wants me to do? Lovest thou me? Do you love him more than these? Does he reign supreme in your life? And the next question was the disciples that were there. Lovest thou me more than these? You go back in the story where Peter was saying, look, these guys, these other disciples, they might deny you, but I'll never do it. He says, I love you too much. I'll do anything for you. But what happens? The other ones don't deny Christ, but Peter's the one that ends up denying Christ. And so Jesus could have been reminding him, Peter, your love for me does not based off of other people. Your love for me is not based off what somebody else does. Your love for me isn't comparative to what the other church members do. Your love for me is based off of your relationship with me. And now, you know, so often we get all mixed up in this. We get this all wrong. We turn around and say, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You say, "Hey, I'm okay because I love the Lord more than Pastor Pease does. Or I love the Lord more than Jim Fire does or Mark Griepentrog." And they all sit up on the stage. So I got to be good because I love them more than these. And you see where that got Peter? That got Peter denying Christ around the fire. It left Satan open. It left the door open for Satan to attack. You know, our love for Jesus Christ is not dependent upon everyone else and what everybody else is doing. Our love for Jesus Christ is dependent on our relationship and how we treat him and how we do things and how we react. Because of the fact that maybe I love my wife and treat my wife a little bit better than somebody else doesn't give me a right not to treat her as best as she deserves. And do I fail at that? Yes, we, you know, as humans, I wish I treated her better at times. And it was, but at the same time, it's not based off of how Mr. Humbert treats his wife. It's not based off of how Brother Bear treats his wife. It's based off of our relationship together. And Christians, do you love the Lord? Not based off of how much I love the Lord or how much I fail or how much somebody else fails around you. The question is, do you love the Lord? What is your love? You know, Jesus wasn't asking the other six disciples. His focus at the moment in time was on Peter. And he says, "Lovest thou me? Do you love me more than these?" And he's showing him before, look, your problem before was you're comparing yourself to everybody else. What is your relationship with me? How much do you love me? I don't care if you come to church every single service, the doors are open, read your Bible there and pray every day. If the Lord's asking you to do something else, asking you to do more, and you're saying no, do you really truly love him the way you should? The Bible says that you're supposed to love with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Is that the way you truly love the Lord today? Because that's what Jesus is asking Peter. Jesus is saying, "Lovest thou me? Is this the way you love me? Do you love me more than these?" And the problem is, you know, that's what we usually do. We have a love and an affection for sports or our family or ambitions or goals more than Jesus Christ or relationships. And the question is this morning, do you really truly love him? I bet you, you're here Sunday morning, I bet you most people would say, yes, I love Jesus Christ. But how do you love him? Jesus is looking for us to love him with all of our heart, all our soul, and our mind. How many of us could sign the dotted line with that? I'm all in. I love him that way. There's not a part of me that is not there's not a part of me that does not love him to the fullest. Church, this is where he wants to get us. This is where he always is taking us. This is where he's trying to work us, trying to get us to. That's why he asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" That's the reason why he asked him the second time, "Lovest thou me?" Second thing I want you to see is that to love Jesus Christ the right way, loving Jesus should be supreme in your life. The second thing I want you to see, loving Jesus will involve service. Loving Jesus will involve service. I want you to see here in verses 15 through 17, once Jesus took Peter's words and believed Peter's word and said, you know, yes, I have a high affection for you. Yes, I have a brotherly love for you. He accepted that. And he gave him commission. He told him in verse number 15, at the end of verse number 15, he says, "Feed my lambs." And in verse number 16, he said, "Feed my sheep." Verse 17, he repeated this again, "Feed my sheep." Now, Jesus is not trying to get him a hard time. Jesus is trying to call him into a service. He's trying to teach him and show him something. He say, "Pastor, you've lost me after that first point. Why in the world do I need to love Jesus Christ supreme?" Well, it's because of what he did for us. The Bible teaches us we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. In Sunday school, we heard about, hey, if you ever start losing your affection, if you ever start wavering on whether or not you should go back to the world or whether or not, as Peter did, go back to fishing or turn away from the things of God, all you got to do is go look at Calvary. All you got to do is go look at the cross, and that will inspire us and that will motivate us to love him the way that he loved us. To love him the way he deserves to be loved with all our heart and all our mind, all our soul. If we remember who we were and what Jesus Christ did for us and the change he made in our lives, it will help us to want to serve him the way he deserves to be served. His love involves service, just like our love will involve service too. You say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" If you really truly love the Lord, it's going to involve service. You're going to want to do something for him. You're going to want to serve him. You say, "Why do you know that?" Well, the Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Peter's being told, if you love me, then I want you to take care of my flock. And then Jesus says, lovest thou me? He says, look, if you love me, I want you to take care of my, I want you to feed my sheep. And then I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to do the job I've called you to do. And I want you to pastor this first century church. I want you to lead these men and follow me as the under shepherd there and do all these things. Yeah, because of the fact that you love me. See, that's where the point always comes. You know, sometimes you might ask the questions. We got missionaries back there. We got one that's here today, one that he lives in Florida, and you got some other missionaries there, and not minimizing any of the ministries, but sometimes you turn around and say, why in the world would they do what they do? You think about some of those that are on a foreign land that, you know, in the bush and in the jungles, or Brother King that's working with people that probably most people wouldn't want to work with and stay away from. Why in the world would they spend their lives like that? Why will they want to raise their children in places? You know, why is it that they do those things? Now, don't get me wrong, it is rewarding. But I can honestly say for most, if not all, it's because they love Jesus Christ. And even at a smaller level, because I know that some of you might think I got the greatest job in the world. And I think I do got the greatest job in the world because it's what the Lord wants me to do. And I love my people here. And to be honest with you, you know, the reason why I do it is because I love the Lord. You know, because now, I'm going to be honest here with you because I know you guys might be wondering about me. I said, you know, to be honest with you, if it was just for money or if it was just to have a job, I would go do something else. You say, what? Yeah, I would go do something else. I could be your friend, couldn't I, and not be a pastor? I could be a blessing to your family and just be a friend and just spend time. You know, it's not really worth all the headaches, all the anxiety, all the problems, all the stormy seas you have to go through, all the spiritual warfare that you're after, all the gossip, all the things that people say about you. It's not really worth it. But you know what? Because I love the Lord, it makes it seem like it's worth it all. It makes it seem like there's nothing else I'd rather do. Because I love Him, it's because I the reason why I serve. If it wasn't out of a love for Jesus Christ, and don't get me wrong, I do love you. I pray for you. I'm interested in helping you, seeing you grow. But it'd be much easier to do that not from a pastoral standpoint. It'd be much easier just to do that from a friend standpoint. And I'm not saying this because of the fact I'm trying to get out of something. I'm not. I love what I do. But the reason why I love what I do is because I love the Lord. Yeah. I love the Lord. And that's the reason why I want it. And our service that is involved. And when you do something, say, it's kind of funny when you try to talk to people about doing things, they're like, I ain't going to do that. I even had people say, why in the world would I want to do that? Why in the world would I want to give up an hour or two to come over and to cut the grass or do the parking like we're going to do here on Memorial Day or do this? And that's going to take up my time. It's going to take up my resources. It's going to take up my me time. Don't do it for me. Do it because you love the Lord. I don't serve a pastor here is the number one reason because I love you. The reason why I serve as a pastor, I serve the Lord. And the reason why I get up and I do the things I'm supposed to do is out of a love for the Lord. And sometimes when you get frustrated and sometimes when you get tired of the things that are going on and tired of just serving and tired, don't give up and say, oh boy, Pastor Pease is going to be disappointed in me. No, you're serving for the wrong reason. Do it for the Lord. Do it. Get up because God's called you to do it and because this is what God's given you to do. And that's what Peter's saying. He's saying to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you truly love me? Because what you're getting ready to face and what you're getting ready to go through, you're going to have to serve and you're going to do things that you never thought you were going to have to do. You're going to face things that you never thought you were going to have to face. They're not going to be easy. They're not going to be convenient. They're not going to be something that is natural to want to continue on doing. He says, but I want you to love me first. So that way when you're doing it, you'll be doing it for me. You'll be serving for me. I want you to think about where the Bible says. It says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Our service is built out of our love for Jesus Christ. Now, I appreciate people come up and say to me, Pastor, I want to help you out. And there are times when other people have fallen down on the jobs and I do need people to just kind of put themselves in a spot where they're probably not the best oriented or the best person for that job. And they're just there because they're just being a willing servant because there's a great need. And sometimes that's because other people just who are supposed to be there doing it just aren't. And I appreciate that. We have people like that all around that doing that and filling in spots. But Christian, service for the Lord is not a choice if you love Him. Serving the Lord means that you're going to obey His commandments. Why? Because Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what's some of His commandments? Commandments are to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ. Commandments are being faithful to church. Commandments are praying and reading our Bible, faithful church attendance, giving, serving in your local church, being what God's called you to be and do. Those are things that we need to do because we love the Lord. And be honest, if you do it because you love the Lord, it's going to be like it's not a chore. Amen. It's a privilege.
Amen.
I don't know about you, you see Brother Jim singing. I don't think he's doing it because he feels like he has to do it. I think he's doing it because he loves the Lord. And I know he might be a little bit more excitable than when some of you guys might like or not like. You know what? I don't mind if someone's sincere in their love for the Lord, then that's fine with me. You know, I think that there's a love out there, and that when people serve, you can watch some people enjoy what they're doing. Other people that are drudging along, I think they need to check the reason why they're doing and why they're doing it. Because our first motivation should be what? Because we love the Lord. Third thing, not only do I want you to see loving the Lord, or loving Jesus should be supreme in your life, and loving the Lord will involve service, but loving Jesus will involve sacrifice. Loving Jesus will involve sacrifice. You come here in verses number 18 and 19. Jesus is honest with Peter and he says up front, look, you're going to lose your life. He says you're going to die for the cause of Christ. You're going to have to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And here it says in verse number 19, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. Now here's the point. If you serve the Lord and you love him the way you're supposed to, it will involve service, but it will involve sacrifice. Some people say, Pastor, if I love the Lord like that and I do those things, do you realize what I would have to give up? Pastor, do you realize what you're asking for me to do? If I love the Lord that way, I'm going to have to give up friendships. I'm going to have to give up things I really enjoy doing. I'm going to have to give up this and that. Yes. Loving the Lord means that you have to give up. You have to be willing to sacrifice. Loving the Lord will involve sacrifice. You go back to the relationship that you have with as husbands and wives. You know, when you married your wife or married your husband, what did you do? You sacrificed the opportunity to ever go out on a date with another person.
That's right.
Now, for a guy like me, who can never get dates to begin with, that wasn't a big sacrifice. But for my wife, who probably had lots of guys after her, you know, that was a sacrifice to her. And you know, it's the same thing. You sacrifice every opportunity right then. I'm making my commitment to this mate. And as I make this commitment, that means no one else can be there. No one else can fill that void. I'm making this commitment. You know, our relationship with Jesus Christ, our love for Jesus Christ, means that we should be willing to sacrifice. Not only does it mean that we should be willing, it means that we're going to have to sacrifice. Listen to this verse that we read just a few minutes again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I want you to understand is Jesus never told Peter it was going to be easy. You look through here, you read the Bible, you go through here and you understand the Bible. Nowhere does it say Jesus giving you this opportunity says, oh, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can do whatever you want. You can look whichever way you want. You can act whatever way you want. It doesn't matter to me. It's not going to cost you anything. He tells you the complete opposite. He looks at Peter right in the face and says, do you love me? Do you love me that much? How much do you love me? And he says, look, this is going to cost you your life. If you love me to this extent and you do the job that I've called you to do, it's going to cost you your life. And then do you see Peter shying away from it? Do you see Peter saying, it's just not worth it, I'm going to walk away? You know, too many times are we looking for the easy way out. Too many times is in our lives, in our love for Jesus Christ, are we willing to sacrifice our love for Christ in order to pacify somebody else? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Here in this story, Jesus is up front with him. He says, look, if you're going to love me this way, it's going to cost sacrifice. Just as it cost most disciples their lives, just as it cost thousands of disciples and Christians their lives during the early church years, and just as it costs, now listen, thousands of Christians, even today, many people are martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ in other countries, people paying the ultimate sacrifice. We must learn to count the cost and say, because of my love for Jesus Christ, it's worth it. Because of my love for Jesus Christ, I don't mind. Because of my love for my wife, I don't mind never having to go out on another date with another woman. I don't mind never ever having to hug another woman or kiss another one. You know why? It's because of my love for her. And my love for Jesus Christ makes me want to take these things of the world, the past, and say, I don't mind having to leave that stuff behind. Even though the rest, somebody else around me might not love them the way I do and might not understand the way I love them, that doesn't matter. It's my love for Jesus Christ. Does it mean I have to sacrifice some things? Yes. Instead of looking for ways around the sacrificing, we need to say, Lord said things are going to be tough sometimes. Lord said that anybody who's going to live godly is going to face persecution. The Lord says that sometimes you're going to have to leave other people behind. You know what? He told us it was going to be that way. And if we're really, truly going to love Him, it's going to involve sacrifice. You know, look what it says. Listen to what it says. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. I wonder, when was the last time you have denied yourself anything for the cause of Christ? Some of you know that some of the men around the church have been on a diet since the beginning of the year. And some people have lost some weight and some people have not lost some weight. Or some have lost a good amount, some have just lost little. You know, those that have lost weight is because they've denied themselves the things that they used to enjoy eating and used to enjoy being a part of. And now they have lost a lot of weight. Others have not denied themselves, and others have not lost any weight or lost just a few pounds. Am I picking on anybody? No, I'm not. It's just an easy example of the fact that when we deny ourselves, when you're losing weight, you deny yourselves the basic things that you're used to eating, you're usually going to have good results. But if you go back and you don't deny yourself, you're still going to be the same. In your Christian life, if you'll take the things of the world and you will deny yourself the things of the world, you will grow stronger spiritually and you'll grow stronger and closer to Jesus Christ and your love for Jesus Christ will continue to build. But if you don't deny yourself the things before, just like you're not going to lose any weight if you deny yourself, if you don't deny yourself, you know what? You're not going to grow in your Christian walk. Your love for Christ is going to fleet. Your love for Christ is not going to be there. You think about it. Loving Jesus Christ should be the easiest thing in the world for us to do because of what He did for us. You look at those crosses. It's what Jesus Christ did for us. He says, we love Him because He first loved us. What do you mean He loved us? It means that He came to this world to die for us, for our sins. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, let me encourage you. Come to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He came to this world to die for your sins, to take your place, so that way you will not have to spend eternity in a place called hell. And in a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. I encourage you to come forward, and we can have somebody take the Bible and teach you what Jesus Christ did for you. But if you're here and you're a believer, Jesus Christ died for you. Our love should not be something that we ask ourselves, am I going to love Him? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Our love should reign supreme, even though sometimes it's going to mean that we have to serve, even though sometimes when we don't feel like serving, and sometimes it means we're going to have to sacrifice, even though sometimes the sacrifice might seem tough, it might seem hard, it's still worth it. And I don't want to paint a bad picture here. I don't. I got to be honest with you. You know, marrying my wife was one of the greatest things I ever did. You know, having to say goodbye to all other women, having to say goodbye to that portion of my life was not something I minded sacrificing because of my love for her. Living for Jesus Christ and getting saved was the best thing I ever did. Amen. You know what? I have never regretted any days that I actually have served the Lord. The days I regret are the ones when my love wanes and my love does not go to the extreme it should and I give back to the world because it's just not worth it. So I don't want to paint a picture that this service and this sacrifice is something that's just not worthwhile. It's the complete opposite. If you love Jesus Christ and you serve Him, it's going to be like you're not even serving at all because you're doing it for the one you love. You're going to be willing to pay the price because it's not going to even seem like a sacrifice because of the sacrifice He gave us. That you're going to be willing to serve. You're going to be willing to put the hours in. You're going to be willing to put the time in. You're going to be willing to tell other people about Jesus Christ because of the fact that you love what He's done for you. There's one thing that we never mind is talking about the people we love. You ever been around somebody who's newly dating or newly married? All they want to do is talk about their mate. I talked to Mrs. King just yesterday. I got on the phone with her. You know what she did? for like 2 minutes. She told me about how great her husband was and how much she loved her husband. And that's, I thought, I got off the phone and I was thinking, wow, this must be a really great guy, or this, my wife must really love her husband. And I found out probably both are true. He's a pretty great guy, but he also, his wife just, I could tell that she really, truly loved him, and she missed the fact that she wasn't here with him. That was the love he had for her, because that's all she wanted to talk about was him. You know, that's what Jesus is saying when he commissions us to go out, is if we love him enough, no one's going to be able to silence us. We're going to want to talk about him. We're going to want to tell us. Why? Because that's what we love the most. And we need to be careful about what we talk the most about, what we think about the most. Because that's what means the most to us. Lovest thou me? How much do you love Jesus Christ today? It should be supreme in your life. Jesus asks, and Peter says, I got a deep affection for you. You know what? That's how most of us probably would say. I do love him, but is he supreme? He wants us to love him with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all of us. He wants us to be all in. And when we do that, that love is going to involve service, and that love is going to involve sacrifice. Don't shy away from that. Accept that because of the relationship that you have. I know we use some pretty simple things to look at that and think about that. You say, Pastor, it's more complicated than that. Is it really? Is it really more complicated than really, truly loving God, leaving the things of this world behind and just turning to him and saying, Lord, whatever you want, I love you. No price is too high to pay. No service is too much to give because of this love I have for you. And that's all the Lord was trying to teach Peter by saying, lovest thou me more than these? Comparatively, then he says, lovest thou me? Non-comparatively, just that relationship we have with him. This morning, how much do you love him? I take a deep look inside and ask this question, lovest thou me? Do you love him like you should? If not, we have an altar here to be able to get those things right. And ask the Lord, love me. I think it was great that Peter gave the honest answer over and over. I think what he was saying, Lord, you know that I love you. You know everything that's in me. You know everything about me. You know I had this brotherly love, but I'm not going to make a false accusation and say I love you the way I'm supposed to. But I think what he was saying was, Lord, help me to love you that way. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? That love there is going to end up causing you to lose your life. Let's ask the Lord to help him love him better. Let's pray. With heads bowed.